You have been a blessing to me. You have helped me. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to help you. And I can. And I'm going to tonight. God is in this place. I'd like you to stand now for the reading of the Word of the Lord. We have Sister Helen, this wonderful ministry, her husband. We have others in the balcony from headquarters. We have, there are other ministers here. And this wonderful choir behind us. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're wonderful." Say, "Thank you for helping me." There's just something precious here tonight. A very perfect atmosphere for what I feel the Lord wants me to say to you in this place tonight. I want to read to you tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read beginning at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. Also verse 15 and also verse 16. And then we'll go to 1 Timothy. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10. Here is an incredible statement. The Bible says, "For this cause of the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." I've always been fascinated with angels. And here is the most unusual statement. It says, "For this cause of the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." Look at verse 15. "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her." Say glory. "For her hair is given her for a covering." If you are standing near a lady, turn to her and say, "You are glorious." You ladies have never had it so good. If you look at verse 16... the Bible says, "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Leave Corinth and go to Paul's son Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Paul wrote to his son in the gospel, and he said, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Now look at this. "I will therefore that men," everyone say men, "pray everywhere." Say on the job. Say in church especially. In restaurants. In the car. On the way to work. That's everywhere, isn't it? And more too. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting." Say, "Men, get with it." "In like manner also..." See, God is so just in all of this. He's got something for the men to do. He's got something for the women to do. And if we don't all do our thing, this thing is not going to work. Verse 9, it says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair." That does not mean braided. It means not to weave chains of jewels and gold through and silver through your hair. The Romans did that. "Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." I want to entitle this tonight, "Holiness, Separation from Worldliness." Say, "I'm separated Would you lift your hands, your voices in your hearts, and would you pray with me for just a moment before you are seated? Lord Jesus, tonight, we thank you for the wonderful touch of God that is in this house. Thank you for Brother and Sister Stark, their lovely family, every preacher here tonight, every child of God, for Sister Kerr, Dr. Hughes, others I have mentioned, and all of us together. Thank God for the people of God who love righteousness and holiness. Tonight, O Master of the Universe, I am asking that you will anoint us both to hear and to speak. We will not fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask these things in Jesus' blessed and wonderful name. And everyone said, Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. Would you clap your hands for just a moment with all of your might? Would you lift your voice of triumph and praise to the Lord? Much studying or reading, and I have through the years, you will understand and find out very easily that with every great move of God that has ever come into this world, whether it was in Wales, England, America, under men like Finney, Moody, Wesley, Whitefield, etc., etc., accompanying that great move of the Spirit of God that converted people and brought them at least to an awareness of God. Accompanying all of that, there was also always, say always, a great revival of holiness or separation from the world of their day. I know that I influence many people in this world. I influence many young people. And I have made up my mind. I am going to do everything in my power to keep our people on the straight and the narrow. Because the straight and the narrow is where the power is. I have preached and ministered many things through the years because I knew them in the Bible and by revelation and would work scriptures through the material. But this year I have determined to nail these things down so tightly from the scriptures that people cannot escape it. Dr. Hughes and I are very good friends. He's a Greek scholar. In January, I went to his home and I said, I have always thought and believed and known this and this and this. I want you to help me in the Greek to find this and to prove it. So for one whole evening in his home, we didn't use one reference book. We used many reference books. He's got piles of books and more piles. And we dug out some things that I want to transmit to you here tonight. If you're going to be a Buddhist, you're going to have to read the writings of Buddha. You're going to have to memorize them, study the philosophy of Buddhism, and then apply it to your everyday life and practice it. That is what makes you a Buddhist. If you're going to be a Muslim, you will have to, of necessity, read the Quran, memorize large portions of the Quran, understand the philosophy of Mohammedism or Islam, apply it to everyday life and live it. That is what makes you a Muslim. But if you are going to be a Christian, you are going to have to study this book that I brought to this pulpit. You're going to have to learn it, understand its philosophy, apply it to everyday life. That is what makes you a Christian. It's not church fathers. It's not ecclesiastical theology and philosophy. It's not this sect or that sect or your opinion or my opinion. It is the Word of God. That is what makes you a Christian, because the Bible is the final source of appeal. The Bible is the final source of appeal for our people. Would you clap your hands again? Would you lift your voice of praise and worship to the Lord? Now, when I was a child, I used to like to draw. And I was decent at it. Tarzan was my hero. In fact, I've still got in my files pictures that I drew when I was a little kid of Tarzan and the apes and all of that. I just liked it. I got rather proficient at it. I had a cousin who was a master artist. He used to teach me little tricks and ways to do it. And so I grew up drawing. My goal in life was to become a commercial artist. In fact, when I was coming into Pentecost, when I was 23, I was already studying commercial art at Drake University, and my big thing was that I wanted to not to have to give up my career in commercial art. I wanted to work at headquarters doing artwork for the publishing house. What a drag that would have been. But I didn't know that then. I know that now. I wanted to be an artist and work at headquarters. Nothing against headquarters. It's just that I'd rather preach than draw now. I wanted to be a commercial artist. Now, if you understand that about me, then it might not surprise you to find out this. When I was in high school, I was a good student. I was. I grew up in the Ivy League set days, when it was fashionable to wear Ivy League trousers that were pressed, clean haircuts, clean shaven face. It was honorable to carry books and walk on campuses. I loved it. It was a great era in this country. It's gone forever. But I grew up in that. So, I was a good student. Drugs didn't exist in those days. Cigarettes, they had those things. But we're not into all of that. It was not there. I wouldn't have done it anyway. I think it's stupid. Anybody can follow a crowd. It doesn't take anyone special to follow a crowd. It takes someone special to do his own thing. And I just did my own thing. And still do. So, I had developed this drawing, sketching business, and so in study halls, my work was usually done. I would sit there in study hall and look at the student next to me, and while they were studying and cramming, I would draw a profile portrait of them in pencil. I carried this pad with me all the time and these pencils, and when the bell rang for the study hall to be over, I would rip it off and hand these students a portrait of themselves. I became relatively famous in high school for this. Now, if you understand that about me, then it might not come as a surprise to you to find out that in high school, I am an introvert made extrovert by the power of the Holy Ghost. There are still things that intimidate me. There are still things I don't like, and they embarrass me. I will not tell you what they are, but there are just some things I don't like, and I shy away from them. It's part of my personality, part of my makeup. Other things, I'm not afraid of anything. Especially when I'm anointed. When the anointing lifts, I may go out the back door or step out the window. But as long as I'm anointed, I will crawl over the pews and go after you. When the anointing lifts, I may step out the back door. Because that is my basic personality. But I belonged, when I was in high school, to the National Thespian Society. I still have my cards and certification, all of that. Which means I belong to something like an actor's guild. I did not act, but I was head makeup artist for the entire high school. Didn't know that, did you? I was in charge of doing all the makeup for all the dramas that were presented throughout all the years I was in high school. I had students under me that I trained and taught. If I had my makeup kit here tonight, the one I used, I could take any one of you out of this audience, and I can so transform you that no one would even recognize you. I can feel in the spirit I have some volunteers. I can work. I can make you look very old. I can make you look younger. I can give you wrinkles and lines. I know if you take a bar of soap and lay it, we used to do this in a little puddle of water, it becomes very soft. You scrape off that soft soap and put it over the eyebrows like this and let it dry. All the hairs are totally plastered. You put base paint over that. You can draw lines any way you want to. I can make you into an oriental. I know how to put the light shades and the dark shades of base paint to totally change the look of your face. In fact, if you ever go to any great theatrical live productions or ever have been to them, even in New York City along Broadway, you can see actors running through the alleyways late at night between one theater and another theater. If you get close enough to them, many of them will have a bright red spot right here in the eye, right here, because when you're on stage under very bright lights, if they put a red dot right here on either side of your nose, it causes your eyes to stand out to an audience under these brilliant lights. Makeup became a kind of a mask to present something that you were not. Then in our day, probably Max Factor of Hollywood, he was probably the first to come forth and to really develop, invent, and become involved with this business of artistic makeup application to the faces of characters in motion pictures and the film industry. In fact, his cosmetic line is still on the market today. It's one of the oldest that exists, Max Factor. And from that, many, many cosmetics came into existence because of the tremendous trend that left the theater and the motion film industry and came to the streets of our country. And people began to buy it. Women began to buy makeup. It's out there today in all shades, all fashions, all kinds of applications. It's there. Makeup is basically a mask. And people, women who wear heavy makeup, it has been proven, usually have very deep psychological disorders and personality problems. They are hiding behind a mask. In fact, I used to pastor a girl. She was an actress. She had a beautiful voice. She sang opera. I won her to the Lord. When she first came into the church, her big thing was lipstick. She came to me one day for counseling. She said, "Brother Stone King, I will not even go outside the kitchen door in the backyard to empty the garbage in the morning unless I check to see if I have my makeup on." I said, "Janet, why?" She said, "Because I don't want anyone to see me without my makeup." Now, let me ask you something here. They say that we are bound. Who's bound here? I mean, if you can't even empty a pail of garbage without paint on, I would say you've got some kind of a problem here. I wouldn't say that we are bound. I would say that the situation is in reverse. Those people are bound. We are free. We are free from all of that. In fact, I'm quoting directly Steve Richardson. He said on a panel one day, he said, you know, in his very dramatic, soft style, he said, "If I were a woman, I would be really upset with the cosmetic industry." He said, "Because who was it that said men are all right, but women need help?" Ladies, that's exactly what the cosmetic companies are telling you. They're telling you that you need help, but men are all right. The truth of the matter is, he said he would beautify the meek with holiness. Not with lines, not with color, not with paint. But he would beautify the meek with holiness. See, I've got that. You may be seated. punch your neighbor and say, can you believe he's saying all this? Say, I fear it's going to get worse. And it is. Would you clap your hands again? Would you lift your voice and worship the Lord? Because surely the presence of the Lord is in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, let me just give you some information and advice here. I saw a woman standing on a street corner one day. I will never forget her. This woman was probably in her 60s. She was thin as a rail. She had clothes on that belonged to probably an 18-year-old. She had, her hair had been dyed coal black. She had, her eyes were lined with black pencil. Her lips were painted, and the lips that she had painted on were not her lips. The line, the lipstick line was way above the lip line. The lips had long since, you know, just sort of melted away, but she had these huge lips painted on, and they were dark red. She thought she was the epitome of whatever. But the truth of the matter is, from a distance, the poor soul looked like she had this big black hole in the middle of her face. Looked like she had a big hole in the middle of her face. Ladies, let me give you some advice here. If you insist on wearing it, at least do it right. If you're going to wear it, get the technique down. Some of our women in Pentecost have become masters at that position. They've become masters at it. They shake hands with me and praise the Lord, and they never know that I know. Because since I've been a makeup artist, I know what to look for. I know what to look for. And it is there. And I have never said anything about it until now. But now I'm going to say it. Because I feel like now is the time. God has so designed you that when you begin to get older, the hair begins to get silver. There's a reason for that. Nature is good to you if you can work with nature. The thing is not to try to look younger than your age, but to try to look wonderful for your age. That's the secret. But we don't do that. We dye the hair. Well, what happens is, when you dye the hair, the pigments in the skin are beginning to fade. And when you dye the hair, the contrast between this dark hair and this pallid skin makes you look like a corpse. It does. I mean, don't dye the hair. Tint it blue or something like that. Real light, it looks better. When you get older, ladies, don't wear the dark reds. Wear the pastel colors. Because it blends with the fading of the pigment in your skin, and you look much better. I mean, if you're going to do it, learn how to do it right. The interesting thing about this is that when one of our women backslides from this truth, look at them. Watch them. They take it on. It is absolutely atrocious. They wear 7 times more than the sinner on the street. Our women, when they lose this, they will wear gobs of makeup. Because it is written, when the unclean spirit goeth out of a house, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. And when he comes back, he finds the house swept and garnished and clean. He cannot take it over by himself. He takes 7 others worse than himself, and he conquers if you're not prayed up. And what happens is our people become 7 times worse than the man or the woman on the street. If you look at the members of the royal family,
They don't take makeup on. They wear it very light, if they wear it at all, because they are in the know. They have what is called class in the world. But God, God has given us something. They don't see a pale face when they see you. They see a light. They see a light. They see a light. Lift your hands and worship the Lord for just a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Do that again. I feel a tremendous spirit of revelation and understanding in this place. When a woman puts on makeup, she is putting on a mask. In reality, if you get to the bottom of it, she really doesn't think that God has made her good enough. She has a kind of open resentment and rebellion against God and the way He has made her. And in essence, she is saying, I'm going to fix it. Why doesn't a man have that problem? Because a man doesn't use makeup as an attraction additive to his personality. A woman is trying to attract a man. In nature, in creation, it is the male that tries to attract. In the human species, it is in reverse. It's in a woman's nature to attract, to seduce. In nature or creation, they do not attract for life. But there are exceptions in creation and nature. Geese, for example, mate for life. But those that mate for life in creation, there is no special coloring distinction between the male and the female. They both look the same in coloring. Eagles mate for life, but there is no coloring differentiation and distinction in the way they look. They both look exactly the same. But those that do not mate for life, they have to vie for the female's attention. That's why basically in nature or creation, the male is highly decorated in one fashion or another, because he is the one that does the attracting. It is impossible to translate into the English language from the Greek in just a few words, because we do not have in the English language the tenses that they had in the Greek language. So we do not have a way to express the total meaning of some of those Greek words. That's why it may take several English words to convey a simple thought from the Greek language. For example, in Jude verse 8, the Bible says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Everyone say, defile. Say it again. Defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. The word defile from Vine Expository Dictionary of the New Testament means primarily to stain, tint, or dye with another color, as in the staining of glass. The analytical lexicon to the Greek New Testament, in Greek, the word defile, according to this reference, means to tinge, dye, stain, to pollute, to defile. Hence, what Jude is saying, if any man stain, tint, or dye this body, him shall God destroy. Isaiah 66 and verse 4 says, I also will choose their delusions. God said, I will choose their delusions. and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that which I delight in, which I delighted not. If you do not love the truth, if you will not adhere to the laws of the Lord, that the law of the Lord is perfect. But if you will not adhere to the law of the Lord, the Bible says that God will choose your delusions. Do you understand here tonight the extent to which God has gone to get me saved, to get you saved, the prayers that were prayed, the fasting that was done, the Bible studies that were taught, the years and the hours it took some of us to get where we are here tonight? And after all that God has gone to, after all He has done to reach us, when millions have never even heard His name, but He went out of His way to find you and to find me. And after all He's done for us, one day He comes by and He just listens, and we're talking on the phone to some friend in the church. And he hears us saying things like, I don't know if all of this is necessary or not. I think we're too straight-laced. I think we ought to loosen up here a little bit. And God takes note of that. But He goes His way. You keep coming to church. You look the part. You act the part. But your heart is already defiled. You're already backsliding in your heart. He comes by another day later. Again, He hears you on the phone. Or worse yet, you've got a couple others in the house with you. And you're going through this over tea or coffee, and you're talking about, I don't think this is necessary. I think we ought to become more modern. I think we ought to look a little more like everybody else. And God stops and He listens. And the anger of God comes up in His nostrils. And He says, in essence, okay, you want to believe that? I'll help you to believe it. And He sends a strong delusion. He allows you to continue in your lie. People, hear me tonight. If people deceive you, if man deceives you, you can be counseled out of that. That's what you do all the time. If the devil deceives you, you can be delivered from that. Delivered from that. But if God deceives you, there is no hope. Lift your hands and say, Jesus, don't ever let go of me. No matter what it takes, if you have to drag me, don't let go of me. Jesus, allow the revelation of your laws to become like fire inside of us. Here is one of the most staggering statistics I have ever heard relative to this subject. The statistics from the Motel and Hotel Bureau in this country show that when charismatic Christian groups come to town, there are more pornographic movies rented by them than any other convention group that comes to town, including the Shriners. That is a staggering statement, because they profess to know Him. They profess to serve Him. They profess to project Him. Why? Why are there more pornographic movies rented in charismatic conventions in cities than any other kind of convention? Because they are appealing to the flesh. That's why. They're big on love, fellowship, makeup, jewelry, and expensive clothes. I'm coming. People, it's not a fashion. It's not a trend. There's a spirit behind that. It goes all the way back to ancient days from a woman whose name was Jezebel. That spirit is in the earth. It is just belching up and vomiting up all kinds of voices that are being heard, unfortunately, by some of our own people in this hour. There is a spirit behind that. In the animal kingdom, I reiterate, the animals that mate for life look very much alike. But those that do not, the male is decorated and he courts the female. But in the human race, it is the female that flirts with the male. Men are stimulated by what they see. We have not addressed this. We've got to come to grips with the truth here. A woman in slacks, for example, her body is accentuated. Some of them look like they were poured into them. And obviously their mirrors don't tell me what my mirror tells me. Makeup appeals to the eye. I don't know why we can't get this together. I don't know what our problem is. Hollywood understands something that we can't seem to get through our heads. With the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. If you've watched any of the great classic films, like Jesus of Nazareth, the great epic films, religious films, in those films, the first time you see Mary Magdalene, she is painted like a harlot. Her face is marvelously, artistically made up. But once she has been to the feet of Jesus, in the very next scene, after her conversion, her whole face fills the screen, and there is not one drop of makeup on her face anywhere. Why? Because Hollywood knows that in order to project sainthood from the screen, you can't have anything artificial there. It's got to be the cleanness of the light, of the life, of the Creator from within. Not a mask. They know that. Why can't we get this together? Lift your hands to the Lord and cry out to Him. Say, Jesus, I thank you that I am a saint of God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. As far as I am concerned, we have the most beautiful women among us in the entire world. We have the most beautiful women among us in the entire world. That's why at our general conferences, newspapers come out and say, who are all these beautiful women? Because your skin is clear. Makeup, the lead in some makeup, it is absorbed into your bloodstream and can cause cancer. Many forms of terminal cancer is directly related to the consumption of lipstick over a lifetime licked into the system by the tongue. The dye you use on your hair is carcinogenic. It follows the hair follicle down, enters into the bloodstream near your brain. God has delivered us from all of that. But somehow, we don't seem to be grateful. Somehow, we don't seem to be grateful in spite of all He's done for us. Some of us still want to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world. Let me tell you something. I left the world 32 years ago, and I'm never going back to the world. I'm never going back to the world because I got away from the system. I got away from the system. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In churches where our pastors have gone charismatic, the women are being exploited. Is that what you want? Men are allowing them to become sensual because they enjoy seeing it. They won't make or take any stand against it. You've had your fill of that in this district. Or you should have had by now. When there are no holiness standards, you will find more pornographic material in the homes of the couples and in their relationships. It is my personal opinion that the reason some of our people leave this, some of our men leave this, is not because they really no longer don't believe this message. I think they still believe the message, basically. But they have secretly looked at so much pornographic material, so many pornographic films and painted women, that the spirit of Jezebel has reached out to them and their wives, and the beauty of holiness no longer are attractive to them. Do you think I'm right? He says he knows I'm right. And he has a PhD in psychology. Is my opinion I bounced this off Brother Barnes one day. I called him, and also Brother Kilgore. When I got finished, I told him what I felt. They both groaned on the phone. They said, "My God, Brother Stone King." I said, "Well, I'm here praying, and God has spoken to me today. We've got to find answers. We've got to know what's happening. We have to know." I have a friend who was in one particular area working. Some of the pastor's wives came to her, wanted her to go to the movies because the preachers were all going to play golf today. She looked at them, startled, in disbelief, and said, "I can't do that. I've never done anything like that in my life. I can't do that." They laughed and scoffed and thought it was humorous. They had cut hair, makeup, some jewelry, and I think one of them was in shorts, as I recall the story that was told to me. UPC pastor's wives I'm talking to you about here. They went to the movies. She did her prayer and her work for the church. Later, she had some of those same women together. And in essence, she said to them, "I don't want to cause any difficulty. I don't want to stir up anything here. But I just want to ask a question." She said, "Most of you were raised in this." She said, "How is it that one day you woke up and said to yourself, this is the day that I go downtown to the beauty shop and have my hair cut. This is the day I go to the mall and have my ears pierced. This is the day I put on makeup. This is the day I put on slacks." She said, "What was it after you were raised in this that one day you just woke up and said, this is the day I begin doing all of this?" She told me, she said, they looked at each other, Brother Stone King, and they all said the same thing. They said, "It really didn't start with me. It started with my husband. He came in one day and said, I think you need to change your appearance. I think you need to put a little makeup on. Become a little more modern." There are spirits in this hour that are treacherous. If you have ever prayed for the ministry, you need to pray for the ministry in this hour. Don't put it down. Lift it up with prayer. Because the devil knows if he can get the man of God, he's got the whole congregation. Lift your hands right now and pray for the church where you come from. Pray for the man of God in the church where you come from. That's it. Let your voice out. God will hear you. He is hearing. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Pray for our men of God. I rebuke the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind his lying tongue, paralyze his hands and his feet, bind him in Jesus' name. I remember when I was a little boy, my cousin, the same one that taught me to draw, he got to going to an Assembly of God church. I remember going to Sunday school with him. I can remember people when I was a child, 10, 11, 12, 13. I can remember they looked better than we look now. In the city where my parents lived is where I went to that church. Brother and Sister Howard, that was the pastor and his wife. A couple of years later, at the time the Assembly of God church decided to let go of these things, Brother Howard got in the pulpit and said, "You women can cut your hair. You can wear a little makeup and jewelry." His wife, I remember her, was the epitome of holiness. She looked as good as any of our women look today in UPC. But that Sunday night, she came to church with her hair cut, makeup, and a necklace. And in 6 months, Brother Howard was taken in adultery. Because the very thing we fight puts a wall around us so the devil cannot get through. But if you take that separation down, if you take that separation down, he can walk through. He can walk through. And there is not one of our churches that have left this that are more spiritual. They are all more carnal, and they are filled with immorality. They do not have miracles. They do not have signs. They do not have wonders. They have a mess. As Jeff Arnold says, since you've become liberated, tell me about your visions and dreams from God and revelations. They do not have them. None of them. They don't have it. Luke 24, 29, Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." The word endued comes from a Greek word that means to be clothed. He got his own clothing for us. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Perfect comes from the Greek word, which literally means to make tailor-made. It comes from the Greek word katartais, which means to take it up until it fits. Make you perfect. This Holy Ghost will make you perfect in the eyes of God, not perfect in the eyes of the world. He will tailor make you. He'll keep working on you until you are tailor made for His kingdom, for His work, for His anointing, for His move. Say, "I want that." Say, "I'm going to have it." There's something awesome in this place. A kind of fear. I can feel in the Spirit. Psalm 11:3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" The literal translation says, "What is the righteous going to do about it?" If the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous going to do about it? I'll tell you what we're going to do about it. We're going to preach it like we've never preached it. We're going to live it like we've never lived it. We're going to lift it up like we've never lifted it up. We're not going to bow our heads. We are not going to bow our heads. We are not going to slump around. We are not going to change anything. We're going to live like this until we see Him in the clouds of glory. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. While you're doing that here tonight, there is a spirit of revelation that will come upon you. Some of your minds are being expanded. Some of your hearts are beginning to overflow, because some of you are beginning to understand that this Jesus went a long way out of His way to find you. Say, "I've got it." Say, "I see it." Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm one of those He's talking about." Grab that person's hand and say, "We're in this together." Say, "We're going to stand. And we're going to preach it. And we're going to live it." Say, "Oh, happy day." Yes! In the name of Jesus.
the name of Jesus. Jesus, forever, for the law of the Lord is perfect. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There are several things you can rebuild and remodel, but you cannot rebuild the foundation. Once you put the foundation down, it is permanent, and it must be built correctly. You can do all kinds of things to the upper structure, but the foundation is permanent. The foundation has been laid. According to the Ecclesiastical Theological Dictionary, in biblical times, say in biblical times, when you were adopted, say adopted, something marvelous happened. Look at what the Bible says. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Say bondage. Again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. Say adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4 and 5 says, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Say adoption. Say, I've been adopted. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption, say adoption, adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Bible says we are adopted. Tremendous significance here if you understand biblical times. According to Ecclesiastical Theological Dictionary, in biblical times when you were adopted, you had to change your name. You had to change your address, and you had to change your dress code, because every family was known by the kind of clothing that that family wore. Yes. Example of that exists in this day, the kilts of the Scots in Scotland. Every clan has its own design, its own color of fabric, etc. They are known by it. May I say to you here tonight, I have been adopted by the man Christ Jesus. My name has been changed. I am not just Lee Stone King. I am Lee Stone King Jesus. That is what my name is, because he is coming for a people who are called by his name. Say, Jesus. It's my name. I have a new address. My address is not this world. I have been born of a city above, that new Jerusalem. That is my permanent residence. I'm about to leave here one of these days and go there. My name has been changed. My address has been changed. And the dress code has been changed. We do not look like this world. We do not act like this world. In fact, I have watched in the hotel right there where we're staying. I've watched the people behind the desk when some of you come in four or five at a time. And I see them whisper to each other. In essence, they're saying, that's one of them. They can tell. How can they tell? Because you're not of this world. You don't belong here. You dress differently. You act differently. There's a light in your face. There's a spirit emanating from you. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have